So, does this work? Okay, good. So, I want to start by thanking the organizers for giving me this opportunity to talk here. It's a great pleasure to be here. So, yeah, so I'm going to talk about the transdimensional tunneling. This has been some work that I've done with my student, Hanika Ramadan, at Tufts, and some other people at Tufts, but also with Mike, which is now at Stanford. Delia is a postdoc at Tufts. Ben is also here in the audience. And, of course, Alex also, which is at Tufts. So the outline of my talk is the following. I'll give some brief motivation why I'm interested in this type of subject, although I'll go very fast because a lot of people have talked about this before, so I don't have to do a great introduction. Then I'll talk and concentrate on the main sort of model that I want to talk about, which is six-dimensional flux compactifications. Then I'll move on to flux tunneling transitions there and the idea of transdimensional cosmology in those models. And then, if I have time, I'll do some conclusions. All right, so the motivation. So it seems that string theory predicts a huge number of four-dimensional vacua. People have shown exactly this picture before. So this is the idea that the effective potential has many valleys and many sort of troughs. It's a very complicated potential, but most people have talked about the four-dimensional effective potential. And I want to move a little bit away from that. So people have also talked about the observables in this type of multiverse. Main idea is that we can tunnel from some vacuum to some other vacuum, and we can live inside of one of these bubbles. So the bubble gets formed here, starts expanding, gets bigger and bigger. It goes faster and faster until it goes very close to the speed of light. And then we live inside of this open universe, which has this type of metric, where this is hyperboloid, the measure hyperboloid, and there are galaxies over there where we can live. Now, the main point of this picture is that it's possible to see things from before the Big Bang, as I think Matt Clevan mentioned yesterday, because this can travel inside of the bubble. Of course, for all the signatures to be seen, you cannot have many foldings inside of the bubble, because if you have many foldings, then all the signatures are washed away. And this is going to be true in my case, too. Okay. So, of course, once you have one bubble, you can have many. And this is also the same picture that Jaume showed before. So you can have bubble collisions, and this is another signature of this model. So what I want to talk about is what happens when you talk about not in a four-dimensional setting where all the vacuum that you transition is four-dimensional, but when you go to other possibilities. And this, of course, happens in string theory, but I would say that happens in all theories that have extra dimensions. So in particular, I'm going to concentrate on a very simple model, which is a six-dimensional model. This is a very old model. It has a lot of history. It goes by the names of von Rubin, if you turn off the cosmological constant, or actually Salam and some other people work on this model. So the model has just the Einstein-Hilbert term. It has the electromagnetic field in six dimensions and a positive cosmological constant. Now, the one of the things that you can do is to compactify the six-dimensional model in this way, where you have a four-dimensional space-time, which I'm going to assume is maximally symmetric, meaning it's going to be ADS flat or the Sitter space. And then I'm going to compactify the other two dimensions on a sphere. Now, in order to do that, I have to prevent the sphere from contracting forever. And in order to do that, what people did is to turn on this magnetic flux on the sphere. This is the representation of the flux sort of threading the sphere. Okay? So that's why this is an example, I would say probably the first example of flux compactification. And the important thing here is that this flux is characterized by this number n, which is a topological number. Now, we want to understand how is this compactified, how is the extra dimension stabilized, and we have several ingredients that we have to make compete against one another. So here we have three ingredients. So we can write down the six-dimensional metric in such a way that we parameterize the size of the extra dimension with this scalar field psi. And then we have an effective potential for this psi where this is canonically normalized, in such a way that we have three terms that, as I say, compete against each other. So the way to understand these terms is to look at the first term is proportional to n squared. This is positive. This means that if you try to compress the sphere, because this number is a topological number, the energy density of the flux shoots to infinity, so you cannot contract it forever. The second term says that the x dimension has curvature, and it wants to contract. And the last one is, of course, the cosmological constant that wants to expand. Now, if you have these three terms, you can, as I said, make them fight against one another and get potentials of this form. So this is the effective potential you will get for different values of n. Okay, increasing values of n go up. N is the flux number, the topological number. And so there are a few important things here. As I said, this part is characterized by the flux. It's a barrier that prevents you from going all the way to minus infinity, which would be shrinking to nothing. And this part over here is the part where you're dominated by the cosmological constant. But then, because of these three terms, you can have this perturbatively stable minima. And as I said, it could be the sitter flat and anti-sitter. Of course, it is flat in some special value where you fine-tune the parameters in the higher dimensional theory. So there's nothing special about this. But in principle, there could be many in between them. Okay, I just drew three of them. So what we want to know is, how do we understand the tunneling between these guys? So as you notice, there is no other field in the transverse direction. So it's not going to be the normal Kolmogorov-Marucha. It's going to be slightly different from that. And the reason is because each of these curves represents the potential for one particular value of this topological number. So I cannot change this topological number continuously. I have to change it by integers. So it seems that if I want to tunnel between one of these potentials and the other, I need some source. And my Lagrangian didn't have this source, but I can find solutions that represent the source that I want. So let me just explain here this object. This is the generalization of a magnetically charged black hole, but because it's in six dimension, it can be extended, and it has two spatial dimensions along the object. Then it has time, and then in the perpendicular directions, it has three dimensions. So in the transverse directions, it looks exactly like a monopole, like a magnetic monopole. It has the charge of the magnetic monopole, and it's a two-brain. Now, so you can find this metric exactly, and these people found it before us. The important thing about this metric is that the induced metric on the object is flat. That's one important thing. So it's a two-dimensional brain which is flat. These work factors go to zero, but it goes to zero in a smooth way in such a way that r equals to r naught is a horizon. So several important things. So this is a codimension three object. It's a two-brain. It's a smooth, so it has a horizon, and it's flat. Okay, so these are the things to remember. And I claim that we're going to build our instanton out of these sources. So the way to do it is to do it this way, to create a bubble that, so this is the large dimensions now. These are the schematics of the compact dimensions, so this should be identified with that. But because this object is a codimension three object, it's going to be located at some particular point in the x dimension. It's not going to be just a bubble that you extend in the x dimension. It's going to be at some particular point. On the other hand, because this object is charged with respect to the flux, if you integrate the flux outside of the bubble, you get the flux number n. If you integrate inside, you get a flux number n minus 1. Okay? So for someone that only sees the projection of this thing into the large dimensions, you would say this is a bubble, and this bubble has changed the flux number from outside equal to n to n minus 1. Okay? So I claim this is the right instanton for this transition. So if it does it, what is the thing that we would see? Well, first of all, this transition is going to change the cosmological constant in the four-dimensional language. So that's one thing. And so from the four-dimensional point of view, as I said, it's going to look like Kolmogorov-Marucha. So once it's like Kolmogorov-Marucha. So once its form is going to be expand and expands forever. And also, it's going to have a little bit of back reaction in terms of the size of the x dimension. So the size of the x dimension for this vacuum is here, for this one is here. Okay? So it's going to back react a little bit on the x dimension. So schematically, we can do it this way. We can say our space-time is this cylinder, where these are the last dimensions that go forever, from minus infinity to plus infinity. And then I have a compact dimension, which I represent in this case with a circle. But of course, it's a sphere. Okay? So the instanton that we care is going to do something like this. It's going to transition at some point, which is... Yes, it is. Okay. At some point, it transitions to create a bubble, which in this case is just going to be like a positive charge and a negative charge, in this case. So in this region, you can see that the size of X dimension has changed. And once it has transitioned there, it's going to keep going and sort of eat up the rest of the space-time until you're left with a new vacuum only. Okay. So if this was the whole story, then everything would be like in four dimensions, and it wouldn't be very interesting. But there is an important point here, which is that, as I said, these objects are codimension three objects. They are two brains in six dimensions. So when I tunnel one bubble, I tunnel in some particular point in the X dimension. When I tunnel another one, I'm going to tunnel at a different point in the X dimension, not necessarily at the same point. Therefore, if I look at what happens if I integrate through here, I'm going to get to n minus 1 flux. If I integrate over there, I get n minus 1 flux. But if I integrate through the middle of both of them, I'm going to get to n minus 2 flux. Okay? So from the four-dimensional point of view, for someone that does not see the X dimension, what you would see in a collision is not that the two bubbles sort of go at each other and sort of collide and fight, but they just go through one another. Okay? And in the middle, in the intersection between the two bubbles, you're going to get to a new vacuum. The vacuum that is not B, is not A, is a different one. And in fact, this is very similar to what Matt and Ishan were talking about yesterday, except that in this case, it's natural. All the collisions are going to be of this type. You don't have to sort of assume that there is some specific potential, but this always happens. Okay, so this is one thing that makes this type of transitions different. But now I want to argue that there are many other transitions that you can have. And the reason is because you can have other sectors in the theory. In particular, let's take the exactly same Lagrangian that we had before. So I did before a compactification with an ansatz that had a four-dimensional spacetime. I can put a two-dimensional spacetime. Of course, you can say, okay, whatever, but this is not our universe. We don't live in two dimensions. But let me do it. I explain why. So I'm going to assume a two-dimensional spacetime and a four-dimensional sphere, which I'm going to compactify in. Actually, you can find solutions where you turn on the electric field in two dimensions. You can understand this, and this is also a flux compactification, because if you dualize the theory in six dimensions with a two form, it goes to a four form, and then what you're doing basically, this solution is basically wrapping some flux in the four form, in the four sphere. Okay? So it's another flux compactification within the same model. It's not the place where we live, but as I'll say, I'll explain, it's still interesting. And of course, you can also have the six-dimensional universe where you don't have any flux whatsoever. If you don't have any flux, you still have the cosmological constant, so you still have this six-dimensional of the Sitter space. So in the same way that you would have flux transitions in this four-dimensional sector that I was talking about by creating these magnetically charged brains, you're going to have transitions here as well. And this is actually much simpler transitions. This is just like the Schwinger process in 1 plus 1 dimension. You're going to create pairs. The pairs are going to change the electric field in between. The electric field is going to be changed, and therefore it's going to back react on the sphere, on the size of the four sphere. Okay? So there are also transitions between a two-dimensional universe cross S4 and another two-dimensional universe with a different, slightly different S4. Of course, the question that you would want to ask is also, are there transitions in between all these sectors? The answer is yes, otherwise my talk would finish here. So, yes, there is a simple way to see this, and actually people studied this type of decompactification before. You can see that in this effective potential, you can easily tunnel from any of these vacua, well, maybe not any, but these vacua outside, and therefore, as I claimed before, this part of the potential where all these curves go together is the six-dimensional the Sitter space. It may not look to you like a six-dimensional universe, but remember, this goes forever. So, in fact, all the dimensions grow. So it is, in fact, the Sitter space written in some anisotropic coordinates. Okay. So you decompactify. So it means that you're going from a four-dimensional large dimension set 2, compact to all of them large. So how does this look in our pictorial picture? Looks like this. You first go to some place, and then this bubble never stops. Keeps growing forever and forever, forever. Okay? Perhaps more interestingly, you have the opposite transition too. And this was first discussed by Sean Carroll, Matt Johnson, and Lisa Randall. So this is basically the idea that you can tunnel back in the four-dimensional perspective too. And this has been known for a while. So you can tunnel from here also to one of these other vacua. And this would mean that you're basically using the same instanton that you use to go from DS4 cross S2 to DS6, but in reverse. Okay? And you can also do this in Coleman de Lucia, but I want to give a different interpretation to this object. And the interpretation is that you are living in the city space. In the city space, we can create particles, so we can create black holes as well. And in fact, we can also create black brains of the type that we have in the theory, these magnetically charged black brains. So how is that possible? Well, the Euclidean version of the city space is this sphere, and I can wrap any of these objects, any of these brain wall lines, on the equator of the city space. This is a solution of the equation of motion, and once I need to continue this to Lorentzian time, what it represents is the position of two black holes that are being stretched by the expansion of the sitter, or a black brain that is actually also being stretched by the sitter. So we can create both of these objects, which we have in our spectrum. We have these black holes and we have these black brains. So in the case of the black hole, we can actually find the exact solution. I'm just giving you here the Penrose diagram of these objects. So you can create a pair of black holes. The interesting thing about this is that you can, so this is the Penrose diagram that connects the city six in this region where you have the infinite part of the city six. Then you have the cosmological horizon. Then you have the black hole horizon. So this is the part of the instanton. And if you go to this region behaves so it looks like ADS2 cross S4. It's not exactly ADS2 cross S4, but it looks similar to ADS2 cross S4. In fact, what I mean is that the S4 is compactified. So this may sound like if I tell you first at the beginning of the talk that you compactify from DS6 to ADS2 cross S4, you may say you're crazy because these are large dimensions. How are you going to create small dimensions? But I'm not doing it everywhere. I'm doing it at some particular point, which is across the horizon from the black hole. So this is the idea. You can start with some large, not compact dimensions, which is flat in this case, and I create an object which has a horizon. If I jump inside of this horizon, then what I see is that one of the dimensions is compact and the other one is the large dimension that stays large. Okay? So this is how you can dynamically compactify dimensions. In the case of the black brain, you can actually find the solution of the bent black brain on the city space. So this is a very similar solution that we had before for the straight flat brain, except that now I'm making it expand in such a way that the wall volume of the brain is the sitter, so it's the sitter 3. And now I have to find this war factor, these functions V and R. Okay. Now, since this object is going to live in the sitter space, at some point I'm going to have to find some place where B goes to 0 because it's a cosmological horizon. And another place I'm going to have to find another point where B goes to 0 because it's the black hole or the black brain horizon in this case. So these are these conditions. And, well, at those particular points, you're going to have some values of R, and you also have to ensure that the derivatives are 0 just to make the instanton completely smooth. Okay? So we can find these solutions numerically, and we did that. And what we find is this function B is almost exactly the same as the city space in these coordinates, so, which is the dashed line, except that at some region which is very small in this coordinate R, there is a deviation from just the city space, and it goes all the way to 0. So there's another horizon there. And that horizon is precisely the horizon of the black brain. In fact, if you look at what is this value over here, and you blow it up, then what you see is that this is exactly the value of the radius of the horizon of the black brain that you would have when it's straight. So basically, this is the intuitive idea that if I put a black hole which is much smaller than the city space, the radius of the black hole does not change by much. So this is the same idea, but with the black vein wrapped around the city. Okay, so these solutions you can find. Penrose diagram of these things are like this. So you have some part of the solution that represents the city 6, and it goes all the way to infinity. Then there's the cosmological horizon, then there is the black vein horizon. If you cross that horizon, you get into a universe which is DS4 cross S2. So that's why we say that inflating brains mediate the transition between DS6 and DS4 cross S2. Okay, so we can go from DS6 to DS4 cross S2. Okay, so I explain transitions between DS4 cross S2 and another DS4 cross S2. The same thing in the other sector, in the electric sector. Transitions between the city 6 and DS4 cross S2 and also from the other compactification. So is this it? Well, there are other ways of decay for a universe that is compactified. In particular, there are solutions which are called bubbles of nothing that were discussed by Witten in 82. So let me just go through the simple bubble of nothing, which he discussed, which is a five-dimensional Kaluza-Klein model where you can find a solution that is basically a double weak rotation of Schwarzschild solution. So this is the Lorentzian version of this solution. So the interesting thing about this metric is that, well, there's this part of the metric that looks like a bubble. It's a three-dimensional of the city space. And then there is this the compact dimension, y, and there is the radial direction. So if you study the limit of r going to infinity, then what you see is that this just is a circle of some particular size. So this is the asymptotic solution. And when r goes to infinity, you can drop this guy, and this radial direction plus this is just flat space within these Rillner-type coordinates. So this thing says that asymptotically, when r goes to infinity, this is flat space cross a circle. When you go to r equals to 0, this thing, so this you can drop, and this thing is smoothly pinches off, and these two directions become just the polar coordinates. And then r equals to 0, then the size of the bubble is fixed. Okay? So this basically represents an instability that we can represent also in our cartoon pictures in the following way. We have that, and all of a sudden there is a place where the x dimension pinches off and it flies away again because the fact that it's a bubble. So it seems that there's another way that flux compactifications can disappear. The only problem is that now we have a flux. Witten did not have a flux, and that's why you can pinch this x dimension, but it seems that we have an obstruction to do that now because the flux is on the sphere. If you want to pinch this thing, the flux, the energy stored in the flux is going to shoot to infinity. So we have to regularize that, and we introduce a new theory which basically regularizes this this object in the same way that you regularize a monopole in four dimensions. So you introduce an SU2 theory that asymptotically goes to the U1 theory that has this magnetic flux. And you can see that the landscape of this theory is exactly the same as the landscape of Einstein-Maxwell, so you don't disturb anything asymptotically. But then you can find solutions which are these bubbles of nothing. In this way, this is a numerical solution, where you take the similar answers as before. And so this is the position where the thing pinches off, because the function C goes from some asymptotic value all the way to zero. And then at that point, you have this W and this P, which represent the actual core of the monopole, like in Tuff monopole. Okay. And then the solution has also this work factor B that goes from a constant, so there is a finite size of the bubble, to asymptotically linear, which means that you are going to flat space asymptotically. So this is an numerical solution of a bubble of nothing, this flux compactification, which basically has at the end so this is a picture of the extra dimension, this is the radial direction, and as you go to the tip, what you have to do is to put a source there, so that all the flux that is coming from the extra dimension is basically sucked up there. This is the Penrose diagram from the four-dimensional perspective, so this particular solution that I took is the flat compactification, so it's flat cross the S2, So this is the Penrose diagram for the flat, and I'm just saying that the brain is situated over here, which is the sitter 3 solution. Okay, so it's this one over here. Now you can change the tension of these objects, and you can increase the tension more and more and more until this solution stops from existing. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. And this is the same type of thing that happens in Kohn Mandelucci. But if you keep insisting that you want to find a solution and you increase the tension even more, you can find solutions which we call bubbles from nothing instead of bubbles of nothing. The reason is because it's a different solution. So before I was taking this part of the space-time and dropping the rest. Now I'm going to take this part of flat space and drop the asymptotic part. Okay? Now you can find the same type of solution. So it's a DS3 brain here. Okay? And then the instanton is only going to go all the way from here to here. So you have another horizon. So you have two regions. This region, which is the instantonic region, and region 2. And when you analytically continue the solution there, you find that this is an open universe with an extra sphere. So this is a solution that looks like Hawking-Turok instantons. Hawking-Turok described the idea of creating an open universe from nothing. This is exactly it. One of the problems that those instantons had was that they were singular at some point over here. And what we do is we substitute the singularity by putting the brain that smooths out the singularity. And this is using the idea that Jaume Garriga had, that you can uplift the solution instead of thinking of 4 dimensions, you go to higher dimensions, and then the solution is smooth. The problem with that is, of course, that once you introduce more dimensions, you have to stabilize them in the future. But our brain does both things at once. It first smooths out the singularity over there by putting a smooth cap, but on the other hand, it's also charged, and therefore the universe that you would create over there is also compactified because of the flux of this object. Okay, so how does this look? It's like something like this. It gets formed at some particular finite size, and then it keeps growing. Okay? All right, so this is a complicated picture of all the different sectors, and there are transitions between all the sectors. Now, why is this important? It's important not because I want to study this just for the fun of finding vacua, but it's because we can end up in a four-dimensional vacua from very different initial points. And as I said at the beginning of the talk, there are effects that come from outside of our bubble that can come in. Okay, so it is important also to see if any of the particular characteristics of how the universe looks like beyond the bubble is going to enter in our bubble. In particular, I said that we can create from nothing to DS4 cross S2. We can go from lower number of large dimensions to large number of large dimensions, and Mike is going to talk about this today, I think, tomorrow. Of course, you can do the normal flux tunneling, or the one that is colliding between two different bubbles, or you can also dynamically compactify. And I think all these models have to be worked out in detail to see what are the predictions for our four-dimensional universe. All right, so what's the big picture? So the big picture is this cactus picture of André Linde that they wrote some time ago, they drew some time ago. But I'm going to populate this cactus with my own labels and put the different type of space-times. I took the liberty to put some holes in there. Those are the bubbles of nothing. Okay. Oh, by the way, one thing I didn't mention is that theories that have bubbles of nothing do not have bubbles from nothing, and the other way around. The reason is because the instantons are different. So the tension of the wall that you have to use to create a bubble from nothing is different from the one that you would use to have bubbles of nothing. Okay. All right, so we can go to a four-dimensional universe in very different ways. I mean, you can read off the picture. You don't have to study this. All right, so these are my conclusions. I think the cosmology of models of X dimensions may be much more complicated than we thought.
Okay, we have time for one or two quick questions. Yes, there's a microphone behind you.
So, Jose, you have shown that in this simple Einstein-Maxwell model, it can do a lot of interesting things. And one of the interesting things I've been wondering is that you show that we can have bubble of nothing, and you showed that sometimes a collision have a simple behavior. So what happening when we collide two bubbles of nothing?
When you collide?
When we collide two bubbles of nothing.
Two bubbles of what?
Nothing.
Of nothing.
Yes.
Well, I think this was a study by some people, and Right. So in the simple case, I think what they found was that there was a future singularity that it would develop. I don't know what in a particular model of six dimensions you can use the same techniques, because probably you cannot do this analytic solutions because we don't have them. But it's an interesting question. I don't know. It could be that you decompactify. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I mean, there are other interesting things, like collisions between bubbles of different number of dimensions in our bubble. And those could lead also to different imprints. So I haven't talked about this because I haven't thought about it.
Okay, let's thank you.